there's only three things that you can give someone. You can give someone information, you can give someone illustration, and you can give someone intercession. There's nothing else you can give people. And you cannot give people spirituality, and you cannot give people character. Look at Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And over the years I think about this stuff, and I don't have it figured out. I don't know. Some people, when it just comes to the things of God, to the things of the Holy Spirit, to the love of the truth, toward excitement about the Bible, toward excitement about spiritual things, for a burden for the lost, they're just a dud. Nothing moves them. They're not interested. You can have two people raised in the same home, and one of them is moved by the things of God, and the other one is just like, it'll turn you into a Calvinist. It'll make you a Calvinist. It'll be like, I guess God hardened that one and opened that one's heart. And I know that's not true, but it's easy to go there. In fact, it would be easy to... It would almost be a relief to go there. You know what I'm saying? But there just comes a... Just some people are not interested in the things of God. And we live in a world that is cold towards spiritual things. And we live in an area that is cold towards spiritual things. We live in an area where a lot of women drag their husbands to church, you know? And the guy will talk for 5 hours about his snowmobile, and he can't talk for 3 minutes about the Bible. Why? Because he hasn't thought about the Bible, that's why. There's no thinking about it. There's no reading it in the morning. There's no listening to it in the truck. There's no applying it to your life. It's just 100% you're dealing with Esau. You're dealing with profane people. They might be Republican, and they might say yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and they might only cuss, around certain people. And they might drink beer and not hard liquor, and they might chew but not smoke. But spiritually, they're just a big zero. They're just, when it comes to the things of God, there's nothing going on. And one of the things, that I see in the scriptures that the Bible says is not my word like a hammer. It says it's like a fire. It's like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. And listen, entertainment and small groups and activity, none of these things are a replacement for spirituality, right? But they're a Disneyland that Christianity will invent to entertain goats because people have stopped being sheep, right? And we know this, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the only thing I can say to all of us, from me to everyone sitting in here, is don't underestimate the power of the word of God. So for yourself and for your kids, get them under the sound of the preaching as much as you possibly can. And, like I said, I credit my love for the Lord to at least in part to that. Part of it's the faith of my parents. Part is I said yes when the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. Part is I just heard so much Bible as a young man, and it just had to take some effect. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so don't miss an opportunity. When you hear about a meeting in Dillon, or hear about a meeting in Missoula, or over in Post Falls, get to it. If you can. When you have stuff like camps and special meetings at church, get to them. It'll help you. Why? Because we live in a day and age where as soon as the seed is sown, there's 100 things to snatch it away. Back in the old days, man, you go, the family would hitch up the team, you'd drive 5 miles to church, you'd sit there, you'd sing, you'd hear the preaching, and then you'd go home, and the only distraction was the horse's rear end in front of you, and maybe a bird flying by. But there were no billboards, there was no phone, there was no games, there was no iPads, right? There was nothing, it was a lot harder for the word to be snatched away. Right, and family would go home, and they would eat Sunday afternoon dinner and talk about the sermon, and whether they liked it or not, they were still talking about the things of God. That's what how things were in this country, right? And now, man, if you don't saturate yourself, because there's just so many things that take it away. You know as well as I do, we hear the word of God, and then within a few minutes after walking out of here, it's just on to the next thing. Right. On to the next. You know, when the Lord touches your heart with the word of God, you ought to take a few moments. You ought to get down on your knees and make a commitment to the Lord. You ought to let that book move you. You ought to respond to it. Because as soon as you get up, you go out in the foyer, and it's cookies and 762 ammo, did you hear about Fox News, and guess what the Russians are doing now, and, you know, where are you going hiking this weekend, and when's your next trip to Disneyland, and you know what I'm saying, it's just life, right? So that's why when you hear the Word of God, I don't know why I'm saying, none of this is in the lesson. That's why when you hear the Word of God, you need to make a decision then, and let it burrow into your heart and into your soul. You know, because we're in an age of spiritual coldness, and I feel it. I fight it all the time. Just it's not necessarily hardness. It's just nothingness to the things of God. Do you know what I'm talking about? A deadness to the things of God. And I get scared when everything excites me except the Bible. You ought to get scared of that. That ought to bother you. You ought to be afraid. There ought to be some fear and some trembling when the Word of God can't get to you anymore. You're in a bad place. And God help us. Now, look what he says here in James chapter 5. And I don't ever want to be that way. I don't ever want to be that way. That's a dangerous spot, Brother Ron. Yeah, when that book can't touch your heart, when you can't be broken for your sin. You know, I don't know. I've never killed anybody. I don't plan on it. You know, pretty much not keeping my options open on that, you know. Yeah, but I've heard that the first one's the hardest. That's what I've heard. And that goes for any sin. Right? Your conscience just starts getting quieter and quieter and quieter. Right, but believe me, those Ted Bundy, the 10th one didn't bother him as much as the first one bothered him. Right, and that goes for any sin. And pretty soon that little voice is gone altogether. I never want to be there. Never want to be there. I want to be bothered when I do wrong. I do. Amen. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can't help someone that doesn't confess that they have a problem. Right? You can't help someone. A person has to admit that they have a problem. And you can't help someone. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to turn to a few scripture tonight. But, you know, people that don't have problems, people that don't admit things, not much you can do for them. And, 1 Kings chapter 18, and then look at verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab, you guys know who Ahab is? Bad dude, right? Wicked dude. Right? In fact, the Bible says there wasn't ever a king in Israel who sold himself to do wickedness. So Ahab's a bad guy, but look what he says. Came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Now you know who Elijah is, right? Boy, top tier prophet, right? Tier one, right? Right? He's a color, not a number, right? And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? See, Ahab's just leading Israel into wickedness, and so the preacher's getting on his nerves because the preacher's preaching against his sin, right? That Christian is standing there with a good testimony, you know? You go to work and everyone's cussing except you. Everyone's griping about their spouse except you. You know what I'm talking about. You know what irritates them? It does. It irritates them that you won't just be roll around in the slop like they do. It pricks their conscience. You know, Some of you guys, you know, maybe you got saved at a certain age and you know, you're on a job somewhere, or you're working somewhere, or you're with a bunch of guys, and it bought, you know what they try to do? They try to corrupt the clean kid. Let's see if we can get that kid to chew. Let's see if we can get that kid to have a beer. They love it. They rejoice to see someone fall. And he says this, he says, are you the one that's trouble in Israel? You can't help someone that thinks you're the problem. You just can't. Some people never have a problem, right? You're their problem, mom's their problem, dad's their problem. But you can't help people like that. Now, you can't help someone that doesn't want your help. You know, you can't help someone who wants you to make a greater investment in them than they're willing to make in themselves. You know, Pastor Hughes told a story about, he said, years ago, this is probably, who knows when this was, probably a million years ago in the 80s. And, you know, Reagan, in the Reagan era, you know. And he said there was a family in church and we had a meal before the service and they left after the meal before the Bible study, and they said they had a sick kid at home. And so Pastor Al was driving home with Miss Barb, and he said, you know what? I feel bad for those folks. I know they're struggling. I've seen the shape of their car. You know, let's take some money. And so they wrote a check from the church, and they went to drop it off at the house, and they knocked on the door, And the kids answered the door, and they said, are your parents here? And the kids said, oh, no, they went to the movies. And Pastor Al said, right then I knew I couldn't help these people. I couldn't help them, right? They came to church for the food and left before the preaching. I can't help people like that, right? They were just there to get something, right? You can't help people that want you to make a bigger and bigger investment in them than they're willing to make in themselves, right? And when you find yourself carrying that load and people aren't carrying their own share of that burden, you're just wasting your time. Now, I want you to see this, and this is what we're going to look at. Look at Genesis 37. Genesis 37. And Genesis 37, this is about Joseph. And Joseph is his father's favorite, right? It's a great type of Jesus Christ. And Genesis 37, verse 4, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to them. You know, Joseph ended up being the savior of the family, and Joseph had those dreams that his brethren would eventually bow down before him. But you know, nothing Joseph said could convince his brothers, right? And even when they threw him in that pit and he begged for his life, right? They weren't listening to him. And even though God gave Joseph to that family to bless them, he couldn't help them because they hated him. They hated him. They envied him. And so last week we talked about some people you can't help, but I want to say this tonight. You can't help someone who dislikes you. You can't. Some people just make up their mind that they don't like you. And there's nothing you can do about it, for the most part. You know, sometimes it's envy. You know, Jesus helped a lot of people, but he could never help the scribes or Pharisees. They didn't like him. Don't beat yourself up about this. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Have you ever had someone you worked with that didn't like you and you had no idea why? You know. I don't have that problem anymore. Anymore, I don't know if people like me or don't like me, because anymore, I just see a lot of deadpan, lifeless, zoned out faces. I think it's the combination of marijuana, right, Netflix, and narcissism that I can't get even expression out of people's faces. I mean, thank God I don't have to live with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, how's the food? Good. Hey, we're having a good time. You know? I just couldn't live that way. I mean, I'm serious, man. It's like when they put plexiglass over everything, you know, during COVID. I said, if this continues very much longer, I'm just gonna grab a bowling ball and jump in Flathead Lake. That sounds terrible. Don't repeat that, and I shouldn't have said it. All right? But, I mean, it's just, at some point, it's like, this is just getting stupid. This is just getting stupid. You know? And you know, it used to be like this. You have a conversation with somebody. You'd be like, hey, where are you from? Boston. Yeah, I'm from Missoula, Montana. Grew up there. You know, river runs through it. You know, Brad Pitt. You grew up in Boston? Where'd you go to college? Right? But then there's no return question. No return question. Not, oh, where'd you go to school? Yeah. Oh, where you go? You ever go see the Red Sox? And then, you know, they ask you, well, you live in Montana, do you hunt? You know, you're sitting on a plane. Why? They don't care about me. They don't care about anybody but themselves. They can't have any friendships or any relationships because they're so wrapped up in their own life that they have no idea how to be interested in somebody else, right? This is what you're dealing with. So I don't know why I said that either. You know, it's not super related. Oh, it's about people's likes and dislikes. I couldn't tell you now who likes me and doesn't like me because I think everybody's smoking weed. That's what I think. I look out on Sunday morning, I think half this church is high. Just complete. I think people stopped at the pot shop. Just completely checked out, right? Because, you know why? Because of your knee, your shoulder, your toe, your glaucoma, your kidneys, your stress, your anxiety, whatever. Just toke, man. Just suck one in, you know, because... You know, just get stoned. I think half this country's stoned. I don't know how the Word of God can get through to anybody anymore. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 24. Look what he says. But when the Pharisees heard it, you think I'm joking? That's not even counting the prescription stuff. You know, I need another Ambien. I need another Xanax. And you talk to people, and they're doing this to you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. You know, Jesus Christ was going around, you know what he was doing? He was casting out devils. That's a blessing. Yeah, it's a helpful thing, right? Aren't you? Wouldn't you be happy about that? Yeah. I mean, that guy's over there, you know. I mean, every time you pass the graveyard, you had to tell the kids to look the other way because that guy's running around in his birthday suit. Knocking over tombstones and breaking his chains, you know. And Jesus Christ shows up. Now the guy's sitting clothed and in his right mind. You'd think you'd be thankful about that. Right. No, not the Pharisees. Why? Because he was nudging in on their territory, so they didn't like him. So everything he said and everything he did bothered them. Yeah. Right? He couldn't do anything right. It's like we used to say, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Right? And when someone doesn't like you, there's not much you can do for them. You know, Jesus, and I've showed you some of the verses, but it's interesting to know that Jesus Christ never forced himself on anyone. In fact, Jesus Christ in Matthew 10 said, hey, if they don't listen, just shake the dust off your feet. That's what he said. He said, shake the dust off your feet. Now, there's reasons. That's the reality. The reality is, not. I know, I'm wonderful, and so are you. And we think everybody should like us, you know. Dogs take on the personality of their owners. We were hiking up Columbia Mountain last night, Blair and I, just trying to get the sludge out of the brain, you know? So we're hiking up Columbia, and we decided to bring Monty, our German Shepherd. And Monty, you know, goes up to everybody and sniffs them or says hi, right? He doesn't read the situation like, oh, little kid, or oh, person that doesn't like dogs, because my dog thinks that everybody likes him. Right, he did, in his world, who would not like Monty, right? And I kind of think that sometimes about myself, you know, like why wouldn't someone like me? Plenty of people don't. Plenty of people can't stand me, you know. I irritate them. I rub them the wrong way. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes people just don't like your personality. You know? Now, you can pray. You know? Allow the Holy Spirit to temper you if you have a personality that's kind of annoying. You know? And good luck. And I've been working on it for my entire adult life. You know? But, you know, people might resent you that you're respected or liked by other people. Sometimes people don't like you because they're jealous of you. That happens all the time. People are really jealous, you know. We all got our pet sins, you know, and I don't really struggle with that one. I got other ones I struggle with, but boy, that's a normal thing for people to resent you when you have something that they don't have. Or they perceive that you are or have something that they aren't or don't have. People really resent you for it, and there's not much you're going to be able to do. You can be nice to that person. They're not going to receive it because they don't like you. And, you know, sometimes you don't like someone because of who you're associated with or because they're friends with someone that doesn't like you. There's people that don't like me because they, you know, they have a friend that doesn't like me, and they take up offenses with their friend or for their friend. You know, someone says, you know what he said to me, you know what he did to me. You know, and that happens all the time. There's people in this valley, it's like, I won't tell you where or how or when or won't give you any clues, but Blair and I were in a situation. We were with the family and showed up to help in a situation and then the support group came, you know. All the rednecks came out of the bushes, you know, for the family crisis. And they showed up, you know, waddle out of the truck, you know. Who are we going to throw down with? You're going to throw down for 8 seconds, and then you're going to be completely out of breath, you know. You know, I guess if you fall on me, you know, then you might have a chance. You know what I'm talking about? But, you know, but it's been a long time, just in case you didn't realize that, you know. You're not going to be moving as fast as you did in high school, but anyways. You know, and it was just this. It came out, they looked at me, they saw a strange face, right? And they went right to their friend who I was there for. And do we like them? No, that was it. I get this all the time, especially in Montucky. Do we like them? Oh, okay, hi. Right? People do that kind of stuff. And people with that kind of mentality, if someone that they love or know doesn't like you, you don't have a very good chance of being able to help that person. That's just the way it is, you know? So, you know, they might be jealous of you. Who is able to stand before envy, right?
Yeah,
right? Right? Look at Proverbs. You know, might be a little animated here, but I'm trying to help you. What I mean by this is sometimes you can't make yourself responsible for things that you don't have any control over. Okay? Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before what? Boy, wrath is something to deal with, isn't it? Whew. And anger is outrageous, ridiculous, hard to deal with. But who is able to stand before envy? Nobody. Jesus Christ, they crucified Jesus Christ because of envy. Look at Proverbs 18. So if someone's jealous of you, it's going to be tough. Proverbs 18, look what he says in verse 19, you know. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Sometimes people don't like it because you've offended them. You've done something, and you have no idea what it is. And the real stinkers never let you know what it is. You know? Oh, you know what you did. I really don't. Would you please tell me? No. You know? Well, that's nice. I bet you, do you do that to your husband, too? You make him guess, like, for days? You know? People do this kind of garbage. I think they learn it at home. They must learn it from their parents. I don't know who does this. I don't know where people learn this, you know? Like, are you upset with me? You know? Like, do you want to give everyone around you stomach cancer? Like, is that what you want to do? Right? But people do this stuff, right? And I think they got to learn it at home, I guess. But, you know, when you've offended somebody and they're not going to tell you what it is, it's tough. It's really tough. And, you know, if you're married to that, God bless you. Look at here at, but, you know, where'd I say go? Oh, yeah, Proverbs 18, 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. It's like conquering a city, trying to get through to someone after you've hurt their feelings, you know. And the problem with this is that you're restricted, right? You know, Abel couldn't help Cain. All Cain would have had to do was trade some turnips for a lamb, and everything would have been cool. But he didn't. He didn't. He couldn't humble himself before his brother. Elijah couldn't help Ahab. Micaiah couldn't help Ahab. When people don't like you, there's not much you can do for them. Now, look at Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 12. And it might come as a shock to us, but some people don't like us. And that's okay. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and look at verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Sometimes you can get someone to like you. Sometimes. You know? But until they like you, you're not going to be able to help them. You're not going to be able to give them instruction, and they're not going to follow your example. Right? But there are times when you can turn someone's dislike into a like, depending on what their reasons are for not liking you in the first place. Right? That the Bible calls that winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise. In other words, they used to say this, that person is winsome, or that guy has a winning personality. Right? And so you don't want to be a slave to this. But let's just make sure it's not our behavior that makes people not like us. Some people, they're envious. Some people are selfish and self-centered. Some people are just dealing with their own stuff. You know? I remember one time I was preaching, and there was this kid, and he would sit right here and drop his head, you know, in the middle of the service and just start sleeping. I mean, just, and sometimes he would snore. Just slouch down right on the front row, right in front of everybody, and just completely go to sleep. Right? And I'm preaching one time, and the platform was up here. You know, it's like 3-4 steps high. And, you know, I was younger. And I went sailing off the platform, you know, and I was talking about waking someone up, and then all of a sudden I saw this guy sleeping. I thought, perfect. So I just jumped and went, hey! And he went, and it was funny. He's a 15-year-old kid, you know? Probably need a new pair of underwear, you know? I got a letter. You jumped off the dais and scared that young man. You reminded me of my abusive husband. That's what she said, you know? Well, sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry that you went through that, and I'm sorry I reminded you of that, right? But some people just simply don't like you because you remind them of someone else that they don't like. That's, you know, what are you going to do about that stuff? What are you going to do? You know, poor kid. You cannot make anyone like you, but you you can make it difficult for them not to like you. Amen. Right? Look, right? Like, don't give people reasons. He says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. You know? Be able to tell the Lord, look, I wasn't unkind. I went out of my way. I went out of my way to be kind to this person. And that's a Christ-like thing to do. Right? And there's nothing wrong with, if you think there's a chance to be a blessing to someone or to be a help to someone, show them a little Christian kindness. Because you might be able to turn the tide a little bit there. You might be able to turn their heart a little bit. Because maybe their dislike isn't something that's fixed. And try to make it hard for people to hate you. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Give place unto wrath. Why? Because vengeance is mine. Look at Proverbs 18. This is just practical stuff. You know, I don't know about you, but I've got, you know, people talk about personalities. The truth of the matter is some people, more than we want to admit, people have multiple personalities. You know, so, I mean, you know, be a little transparent here. I have two opposing personalities when I can tell someone has it out for me. And I don't know what triggers one or the other. Okay? But I got a couple kids that have the exact same thing. It's fun. Okay? Part of me is when someone doesn't like me, there's a part of me that's like, man, what did I do? Man, that stinks. Especially as a pastor, you know, because, you know, you want to help people. And you know you can't help them if they don't like you. So did I do anything, you know? And some people will capitalize on that, you know. They'll make you feel like everything's your fault. We'll talk about that in another lesson. And that's, you know, that's just stuff people do. But that's a part of me, you know, that I feel bad about it. And I carry that. But I have another part of me. And this is the 6-year-old boy. And this part of me is, if you don't like me, I'll give you more reasons not to like me. We will drive that tack all the way in. I mean, as long as the nail, right, is already in and kind of smarting, let's just pound it in all the way, all right? Let's just really give you a reason, you know? And it's funny because I see that as you raise your kids, right? You have some, you know. I got one. It's like, man, if the teacher liked that kid, man, bend over backward for him. But as soon as he thought the teacher was picking on him, it's over, man. Man, you got Dennis the Menace had a baby with Chucky. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And but what does the Bible say? Proverbs 18, verse 24. We gotta get through some of that stuff. In other words, people's behavior toward us oftentimes reveals issues that we have. Right? And we can be upset about people's rejection, we'd be bothered by it, we can be hurt by it, but I guess the benefit of it is it can reveal us to us. Why does this bother me? Why does this hurt me so much? You know, they did this to the Lord, right? Or maybe I am kind of a turd. You know, maybe I could work on this a little bit. And you know, as you grow older in the Lord and you're able to step outside of the emotion a little bit and analyze things a little more, you can get past the being bothered and say, hey, where can I improve here? You know, they said one of Eisenhower was president from, I guess it would have been 53 to 60, right? That would have been Eisenhower era, right? After Truman, before Kennedy. They said his strength in leading And he had this when he was in the army, and he had this as president. And most people aren't like this, but he was able to learn from his critics. If someone, even if he had an enemy, he was able to pull himself out of the pain or the being offended by someone attacking him, and look at it from the perspective of, well, is that person right or wrong? Now, that's a great gift. Most of us can't do that. Most of us, if someone comes after us and we know their motives are wrong, we won't listen to anything they say. It's a great gift to be able to say, you know, you might be being a jerk, but what you're saying is right. And if you can do that, you've grown. Because not everybody can, and maybe not everybody can all the time. But, you know, if you know that God loves you, you know what I'm saying? If God loves you and God accepts you and He's your Father, hey, who cares? I was talking to my little brother on the phone today, Daniel, and we're just talking about people's need for belonging, and midlife crisis, you know, because, you know, my friends and my family, it's like we're all going through this mid-40s thing at the same time. And my brother and I were talking about it just today. And I said, you know, one thing that we have, I don't know if he said it or I said it or we both said it, but one thing that we have that a lot of people don't have is I got my family. Yeah. I got my dad. Mom's in heaven, but she thought I was amazing. It's nice to have one person that does. You know what I'm saying? And I could do no wrong. My mom. Someone told my mom I smoke cigars, and she automatically began to think it was okay to smoke cigars. Once she found, I never do. I don't smoke cigars. But when she found out I did, she automatically, well, maybe that's okay. I could do no wrong. You know, and she's in heaven now, and I hope the Lord doesn't tell her anything, you know, but I got my dad and I got my brothers, and, you know, I don't realize it because they're there, but when you have some people in your life that love you and that accept you and they're there, it gives you stability, right? To where maybe you don't need so much from other people. Would you say that? Yeah. All right, so, you know, as a church and as Christians, we ought to be aware that not everybody has that. Right? And we ought to make the church our family, too. We ought to love each other and have each other's back. Amen. And when people are going through it, be there for them. And comfort them and not kick them when they're down and put up with them when they're going through their phases, just like family. I really believe that. Amen. And there's a great comfort in knowing that people love you and accept you, period. And I have that in my life, and I think sometimes I take it for granted. But where'd I say go? Proverbs 18:24. Look what he says. A man that hath friends, what? Must show himself friendly. Must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, you know? I think we ought to learn to be friendly. We ought to make effort to be friendly. And we ought to go out of our way to do good for those that dislike us. Why? Because Christ said to do that. What did he say in Matthew 5:44? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen? So, I didn't get very far tonight. You can't help people that don't like you. And sometimes you can't help it. But as Christians, let's just not give people reasons. Let's try to live in such a way that we have a reputation and a name where people don't have too much to pick at other than that we're doing right. Does that make sense? Okay, let's all stand. It's 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. Amen. All right, brothers.